Okay. Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, as not to disrupt the meeting, we'd appreciate it. Just stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three, this is discussion of possible action, approval of the agenda for December the 18th, 2018. Mr. Whitten, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
How do you want to handle it?
I can withdraw number 11.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, yes, staff and legal counsel request that we withdraw item 11.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, if we can go ahead and get a motion to approve.
Sure. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for December 18th, 2018, noting that we will be not discussing item 11.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and second to approve today's agenda. Change made. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four, discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for November the 9th, 2018. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of November the 9th? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of meeting for November 9th, 2018.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for November the 9th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. It's today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start with the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing today.
Thank you, Sheriff. Our operations and project manager, Mike Northan.
I have nothing to report
today. Okay. Were you going to report for Public Works today then, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Then for Public Works, representing Public Works today, Mike Northam. Nothing required there, is it? Okay. All right. Over our Community Relations Department, Sherry Nevin.
Sherry Nevin, for the record, you approved today on the consent agenda a historic preservation grant for the St. Mary's Arts Center. This is going to allow them to completely rehabilitate that third floor black balcony that's been in a state of disrepair for many years. So this was some second chance money that the state had, and they reached out to us, and we put an application in, and we're going to get about $46,000 in grant funds with about a $31,000 match. So we probably won't be able to get started until spring, but we have until August 1st to complete the project. So we're pretty happy about that. And then Eric Schoen isn't able to be here today, but he did want to pass on some words to Commissioner McGuffey. And he said, though I regret that I can't be here in person today, I wanted to pass on my appreciation from all of us at Community Chest for your years of service to Story County. Your strong support for Virginia City nonprofits did not go unnoticed, and we are thankful for Commissioner McGuffey's support in ways both big and small, but always meaningful. Thank you, Jack, for all you have done and did.
Nice.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, over in our HR and Planning Department, Mr. Osborne.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Austin. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman. The county has received in rapid order in the last 2 weeks about we received three writs of mandamus regarding public records issues involving an individual by the name of Mr. Panicaro. Those writs have been referred to Rebecca Brew of the Erickson Thorpe firm, and she'll be responding to them.
Okay. Thank you. All right. County Manager Whitman.
Real briefly, only to remind everyone that our meeting schedule for January by statute will be a little bit different. We will meet on the first Monday of January. That will be to swear in the re-electeds and the newly electeds, and then have our regular routine business, including committee assignments and those types of things. So Monday, January 7th, here in the courtroom. And then we're back on regular schedule for the third Tuesday of January, and that'll be January 15th. So we actually meet 8 days apart this time. Okay?
Very good.
That's it.
That's Matt. From the clerk's office, Sarah. Nothing today? All right. Is this anybody? I don't think so. Okay. That concludes the committee and staff reports. Moving on now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Start to the far end of the table with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman McGuffey.
Nothing. Nothing today.
Nothing today. All right, I don't have much today, but I do have one important acknowledgement to bring up, and that's over the weekend, a longtime resident from the Highlands, Carlin McPartland, passed away. Longtime resident and community organizer out there. She was instrumental in putting on their annual picnic barbecue and also with the children's Halloween party that would go on out there. So I don't know how many years she's been there, a long time.
She's been a long time.
A long time.
She was also very instrumental in getting the park out there where it is today,
okay.
With the fencing and new playground equipment and stuff like that.
Great. Thanks, Jack. So anyway, our condolences go out to her family, her husband, Ray. Moving along now to item number 8, is discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action on resolution number 18-521, approving the reimbursement agreement among the county and all owners of property in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center tax increment area, subject to minor changes, if any, as are approved by the county manager.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions or voting on issue 8, 9, 10. I hold a pecuniary interest in the subject matter of these issues, so I'll be joining the audience during these discussions.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Okay. Brian?
Good morning. For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. This resolution approves the reimbursement agreement between the county and the owners of property in the tax increment area to reimburse those owners for costs incurred by the owners in connection with the project. The reimbursement agreement in substantially final form has been placed on file with the county clerk, subject to minor changes, if any, as are approved by the county manager. The reimbursement agreement is authorized and permitted by Nevada Revised Statutes 278C.150, 278C.157, and 278C.250. Please let us know if you have any questions regarding the reimbursement agreement.
I don't think I have any questions regarding this, Jack. Do you?
No.
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, the District Attorney's Office. an issue has arisen. We had originally on here as an agenda item number 11, which was to approve a stipulation regarding how the incremental tax revenues were to be treated in relation to the development agreement with the TRI Center LLC. Now, under the development agreement with TRIP, to the extent that we receive revenues in excess of $5 million, and that $5 million threshold was passed a long time ago, we pay 35% of the revenue received out of the industrial park towards the vouchers that were issued to reimburse TRI for public infrastructure within the industrial park. What we have proposed is that to the extent that revenues are received within the tax increment area that are going to be used to repay the owners of property within that area, that those revenues not be counted toward being available to repay the vouchers. That's what the purpose of number 11 was. That stipulation has not been received at this point. It has been in the hands of TRI for some period of time, and my understanding is that they are in favor of the stipulation, but have not yet signed it. And so what I am requesting today is that if there is a motion to approve the reimbursement agreement, that motion contain a condition that the reimbursement agreement will be executed and become effective upon receipt of a signed stipulation from Tri-Center, which states that to the extent that we receive incremental tax revenues that are used to repay the property owners, that those will not be counted towards the obligation to repay the vouchers.
Can that be shortened to just on the condition of item 11 being approved?
Well, I've discussed this with Ms. Follett, and she requested that there be some fairly specific language. And if the inclination is to approve the reimbursement agreement, I have some proposed language that I can submit.
All right. Thank you.
May I have just 2 minutes to talk to counsel?
Front door with the decorations with these big spikes coming out of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So the stipulation that's been in front of the Tri-Center includes some other items in terms of what other taxes, revenues that are received within the industrial park would count towards those repayment of the vouchers. So, for example, there's centrally assessed property tax revenues that might be involved. We removed a provision for gas taxes because those have to be used for road improvement. It can't be used to repay vouchers and things like that. So there's other things in the stipulation. The part that I am concerned about, and I'm asking that if the board is inclined to approve the reimbursement agreement, that to the extent that the stipulation provides that incremental tax revenues used to repay the owners of property within the tax increment area are available, those would not be counted towards repayment of the vouchers.
Okay, great.
I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Okay, should we open up for public comment?
Sure.
Ms. Clark.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Just a quick question. If one of the original owners that are listed in this agreement sells their property to someone else, does the person, the entity coming in, are they obligated both to whatever the commitment that original owner has as well as eligible for reimbursement? If Google sells their property to Apple, what happens?
We'll get the right question out there.
Because there's a section in here which says that nothing in here prohibits them from doing what they want with their property, but under Section 5, the last sentence, in the event that the owner, including predecessors or affiliates in accordance with Section 14 thereof, is not the same on the date of execution of this agreement and on any date a payment is made for the cost of the undertaking, then such payment is not eligible for reimbursement under the Section 6 of this agreement. I just wonder what that means.
I'm going to record it.
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman & Howard. Under the reimbursement agreement, you know, there's nothing that restricts a property owner from selling its property to another party. However, reimbursements are limited to specific situations, you know, including merger consolidation or conversion merger consolidation, including conversion mergers consolidations or result of bankruptcy proceedings of such owner. So there's just very limited circumstances where that new owner would continue to receive reimbursement payments under the reimbursement agreement.
Okay. That answers my question.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. We'll continue on with the additional public comment.
Chairman McGuffey, I'm sorry, Jack, didn't mean to mislabel you there. Chairman McBride, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. In previous meetings and in the last meeting, we were informed that I made the misstatement that Roger Norman would be paying for the money to build the pipeline, and then it would ultimately be turned over to the TRI GID. In reading this agreement, I see the mention of the TRI GID throughout the entire document, but I don't really see any mention anywhere of an entity that we could identify as TRI or as Roger Norman. Has that changed since the last meeting?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. It may be that reference was just made to the cooperative agreement, which does reference TRI. TRI is not part of the reimbursement agreement and is, you know, not included in the collective definition of owners. And TRI is mentioned in the cooperative agreement, but you know, nothing as far as the arrangement for payment of the project has changed since the previous meetings and what's been discussed for construction of the undertaking.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan.
So then what we're discussing here is the payment but not the operating agreement then?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. This agenda item is the resolution approving the reimbursement agreement, which is exactly what he just mentioned, which deals with the reimbursement of the property owners for payment of the undertaking. This agreement does not dictate operation of the project or construction of the project. There's an agenda item subsequent to this today that does deal with inspection and ownership and construction of the project, and that's the cooperative agreement.
Very good. Sorry to jump ahead. So in this document, Section 1 identifies an applicable government, meaning the City of Reno, City of Sparks, or TRIGID as applicable. It's my understanding that the pipeline is going to leave Sparks and traverse on Washoe County property until roughly Lockwood, where it's going to jump the river, and then the remainder of the pipeline will be built on Story County. Is that a correct assumption?
I think you're talking about the operating agreement at this point.
Well, no, it's relevant. It's germane to this document here.
The reimbursement agreement?
That's correct.
Okay, the operating agreement addresses the relationship and defines the applicable parties to include TRI GID.
Okay, so the nature of my question basically is that if you look at section C of item on page 4 of item 2, the first paragraph basically talks about the transfer of title undertaking property, real property. And throughout that paragraph, it basically suggests that the undertaking property is going to be vetted by TRIGID, and then it will be transferred to the applicable government via the recording of a map or appropriate real property instruments. Fees, simple title, two or easements, right-of-ways, with respect to any portion of the undertaking not owned by the TRIGID. My question is, Throughout this document, I could not find similar language that protects Story County in a similar fashion. And so is Story County protected similarly? And if so, where is the language that protects the applicable government, which as defined is Reno and Sparks and the TRIGID?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. I just want to mention that the section that was just referenced deals with agenda item number 9, which is the cooperative agreement, which we're not to yet. But I can address this section talking about transfer of title to the project. The purpose of this section is, in order to be an undertaking, it has to be a governmental project. And so this addresses any portion of the project that's not owned by TRIGID and the ability to transfer ownership to these other applicable government, which will keep the project a public project. And that's the purpose of this section. And like, as I mentioned, you know, the section referenced is item 9, the cooperative agreement, and is not this reimbursement agreement, item 8.
So should I come back then when we talk about the operating agreement then? All right, very good. Thank you.
Additional public comment? Okay. Well, before we vote on this, let it be known that I'm disappointed that we do not have this agreement with the TRI on this, on item number 11. So I'm willing to go ahead and vote on item 8, and we're going to have a stipulation on this.
Yeah, I figure we could still approve it with the stipulation of
the agreement.
Okay.
So, Jack, can we get read a motion?
I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve Resolution 18-521, approving the reimbursement agreement among the county and all owners of property in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area, with the addition to the motion for approval, the execution of Resolution 18-521 and the reimbursement agreement shall not occur unless and until the county receives a signed stipulation from the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, stipulating the incremental tax revenues received by the county attributable to properties and activities within the tax increment area, which are distributed to owners of property within the tax increment area to reimburse them for the cost of building the off-site portion of the effluent pipeline, will not be included in the project revenues as that term is defined in Exhibit E to the development agreement between TRI Center LLC and Story County dated February 1 of 2000.
Very good. I have a motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to approve this item, Resolution 18-521. To make it perfectly clear that this will not be adopted until we have a signed agreement
from
the TRI. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 9. This is discussion of possible action on resolution number 18-522, approving the cooperative agreement between the county and the TRI General Improvement District relating to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area, subject to minor changes if any is approved by the county manager. Mr. Henry.
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. This resolution approves the cooperative agreement between the county and Tri-General Improvement District regarding the inspection and ownership of the undertaking. The cooperative agreement in substantially final form has been placed on file with the county clerk, subject to minor changes, if any, as are approved by the county manager. The cooperative agreement is authorized and permitted by Nevada Revised Statute 277.045. Please let us know if you have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jack, do you have any questions for Ryan? Neither do I. We'll open up for public comment.
Mr. Loomis,
I think.
Go ahead, Keith.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Similar to the last item on the agenda, I'm also requesting that if this is going to be approved by the board, that the approval be conditioned upon the receipt of the signed stipulation from the TRI Center along the same lines as what we discussed under item 8. And I have a similar language for the condition placed that I'm proposing to be placed on that motion also.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. All right, we'll open up for public comment.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. The TRI agreement, item number 11, has gone twice. I have a question. In prior meetings, maybe what month are we in, December, October, September, it was brought up that Roger Norman was going to be providing the funding up front, fronting the money for the pipeline either himself or through the TRI GID. Is that still accurate?
To the best of my knowledge.
Okay, just asking. And so in the document, as I read it, there are the performer indemnification and hold harmless and all of that, where the county is, no, pardon me, there's a section in there on third party. So my question is Roger and or Roger in the form of the TRI GID not a third party, and how or does that affect anything that's in here? He's a third party if he's involved in any of this funding, isn't he?
Are you referencing Section 12?
I believe so.
Section 12 is kind of a boilerplate provision that provides that we're not intending to benefit anyone else other than the parties to this agreement, so that nobody could come in and say, you violated the agreement, I'm damaged, I want compensation for it. It's just purely to identify the fact that the people that are benefiting from this agreement are the parties to the agreement and nobody else.
So if for some reason a company goes through bankruptcy, can't pay Roger for whatever it is he through himself or a third party is fronting them, can Roger turn around and go after the county for the payment that company should have paid him for the pipeline? Because he is a party in this, it's just not...
He's not a party to this agreement, no.
Okay. So is there any way that the county has, holds, or can be held liable to Roger for what he is fronting the companies to build the pipeline? Because the way I understand it is, Roger is spending the money to build it, he's building it as we speak. The companies pay Roger when they get their receipt of payment from Roger, they turn around and present it to the county that then reimburses them. So that's that chain. Is that still accurate?
I'm going to ask Ryan to address that.
Because if there's a default by a company to Roger building a pipeline supported by the county, or basically being reimbursed to by the county, and Roger's left holding that bag, what recourse does he have to recoup that, and does this protect us as the county from that, is all I'm asking.
And if I may, while Ryan's coming up, I'm going to ask Ryan a simultaneous or a concurrent question. Is it not true in fact in these documents that a company has to pay Roger in order for us to pay them back under the reimbursement and the tax increment area?
No, I understand that. This is a, can Roger come after us?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. The reimbursement agreement is simply between the county and the property owners to reimburse the property owners for costs incurred on the project. That's the county's only duty under the reimbursement agreement. There would be no recourse against the county by Mr. Norman or someone else for anything outside of the reimbursement agreement. Same goes with the cooperative agreement. As Keith mentioned, the cooperative agreement is only between the county and TRIGID. There would be no privity of contract between Mr. Norman and the county or recourse for anything under the cooperative agreement where Mr. Norman could come after the county. The county is protected under the cooperative agreement.
Okay, so that answers that. Another question I have is throughout this last year and a half where this was being discussed, it was presented that, you know, we need the water at TRI, we've got manufacturing out there, and that manufacturing takes a lot of water. I understand that, having worked in manufacturing. My question is, we have also recently seen press around Smart City, and I've gotten, through public records requests, emails and documentation that there is a very strong desire and push to alter our master plan to include residential inside TRI. And so to the extent that we've been told that this pipeline and this water is needed for manufacturing, Is there any, why, I was expecting to see something in the cooperative agreement that stipulates, because we're paying for it, the county's paying for it, so I'm surprised that there isn't anything in the cooperative agreement that stipulates that the water that we're paying for in that pipeline go to and only to manufacturing, that it can't and shouldn't be used as a way to calculate the meeting of a water requirement for a residential placement in TRI, which right now is not even in our master plan, but there are efforts to change the master plan. So I want to make sure that I know what I'm paying for. It's water for manufacturing. That's what we've been told. And yet I don't see anything in the agreement that limits this water to manufacturing use. Why not?
And if I may, while Ryan gets up and addresses the statutory provisions of SB1 and its allowed uses, I'm going to tell you the danger and where you're taking us if you focus microscopically on the word manufacturing. I'm looking at Elise Porto from Switch right now. She doesn't manufacture anything. Mm-hmm. She runs data.
Okay.
She's a major player in this.
Okay.
So you've got to be pretty well-rounded.
Then let's turn that around and say not for residential use.
You got to be pretty well-rounded, and most importantly, and I want to segue off to Ryan, you also have to be compliant with the provisions of SB1 and the underlying statutes that set the specified uses. So, Ryan?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. The definition of undertaking under NRS Chapter 278C and this natural resource project is pretty broad. We're talking about specifics that do not need to be outlined within this agreement. Right now, the project does fit the definition of undertaking. It does fit the definition of a water project and also what constitutes a natural resource project. With that said, I think that we're getting into issues that could be a future zoning matter, which are ancillary to this agreement itself.
So, the TRI GID, by getting this pipeline and this water, could be setting the establishment of having the water requirement for having residential in the park, based on statute, right?
I guess I'll take a layman's approach, but defer to counsel. I mean, you know, to be very blunt.
No, we're going to...
Let me finish answering the question, Nicole, at least from my seat. Could residential happen? I guess anything could happen. Corta Vista could happen, but it didn't. You know, will it? They've got a lot of hurdles, including changes to the master plan, changes to the developer agreement, changes to zoning. I mean, none of which this pays any way for at all. And I guess that's my layman's concept.
I think the cost to even make that water potable would be too far out there to even consider it as well.
Ryan Henry, for the record, I would just concur with what the county manager said. I think that, you know, there'd be a lot of hurdles to get to that point and those steps are outside of this agreement, and you know, that could be far down the road, and I agree that nothing in this agreement paves the way or makes that path any easier than it would be in any other situation.
Okay, so this water is not going to help with the arguments that are currently being presented to the county to change the master plan to allow significant residential in TRI.
Change the argument. What argument?
Our master plan doesn't allow for residential. In order to have residential, Corta Vista didn't happen for any number of reasons, water being one of them. I'm not a proponent of residential in TRI.
This water isn't going into a residential area.
Pardon?
This water isn't going into a residential area.
Not today, it isn't.
Yeah.
But
because
it's there, could feed a residential area when the master plan question comes up, and it will. Okay, just wanted that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson, you have your hand up.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McGuffey, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, TRI Project Manager, the water that's coming in the pipeline is effluent water out of the Tumwa plant in Sparks, and that it's being treated to EPA standards for effluent for discharge into the river, which is where it's going currently. And to be treated to that standard, it's got to be, you know, all the environmentally harmful items have to be taken out or below EPA standard. So that will be diverted into this pipeline coming out here. The fact that it's treated for discharge into the river does not make it potable. It's not allowed for domestic use. The state, Nevada Department of Environmental Protection would not allow that water to be used in domestic circumstances. Domestic meaning showers, sinks, cooking, anything that comes in contact with human beings. It can only, we refer to it as process water, meaning it can be used in data for cooling or for manufacturing in enclosed systems. And those are, and all the engineering plans are set up that way. And had a phone call been made or had the plans been reviewed, I think that'd be very clear. It'll go into our reclaimed system, which our owners have already invested tens of millions of dollars in the park. That is in the ground now in some measure, which will be expanded through this program. But that, it's a whole separate plumbing system for this reclaimed water to be used. Once the lines are charged, the reservoir is built, the pipeline's built, the distribution is built, which is a total project of over $100 million, we will have the largest dual plumbed, that is potable and non-potable system, the largest dual plumbed system of anybody in the United States in an industrial park. And I think that's something that the county could be very proud of. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chris. Okay. Continue on. Additional public comment. Austin Osborne.
Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne, Planning Director for the county. Mr. Loomis can stop me if I step out of the agenda item, but it was discussed. And Nicole Bard did request every piece of correspondence related to a topic, and apparently was provided to her. There's nothing in there that the county or county staff or leadership are supporting residential uses at a try. The master plan currently does not allow it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay. Additional public comment.
Sam told Gold Hill on that subject that Mr. Osborne just referred to. Within that packet of public records requests that I similarly made, there's a letter from Mr. Witten to Governor Sandoval, which expressly defined the justification for the changing of the opportunity zone from Lyon County to Story County based upon a number of bullet points, one of which, in fact, was a 10,000-resident smart city within the confines of the industrial park. So that doesn't suggest that anybody in the county is actively, working with blockchains to produce that. But it's clear that everyone in the county, based upon the packet of information that I shouldn't say everyone, but the planning department and Mr. Witten, is very aware that blockchains is very interested in the smart city and having residential property exist on the park. Similarly, there's an effort underway to transfer roughly 1,000 residential housing units from Painted Rock to Emerald City property or Emerald City Empire for the same purpose. And so when we talk about, as Mr. Thompson just suggested, that there's an additional part of this program or undertaking, which is going to require the investment of over $100 million, as he described there, you know, and it has been discussed in previous meetings. There's going to be additional improvements on the reservoir. There's going to be additional treatment centers, which will be manufactured, and then the distribution of that potable and non-potable water. To suggest that a company, you know, who just put down almost $200 million to purchase the rest of the available land at TRI doesn't have the means to up the ante and to, you know, create either at the time of this construction or in the future the ability to turn toilet water into tap water, which is, you know, technology that is in use around the world, I think is short-sighted. And to the extent that that language would prevent or prohibit this water from being used for any residential use, I think is appropriate in this operating agreement. That being said, the operating agreement, which I talked about under the previous agenda item, I'd like to bring up now. This agreement, as Ms. Bard said, you know, Mr. Norman is not a third party. He's a participant in this agreement. He's paying the bills. Yet I don't see any reference to an entity that could be assigned to Mr. Norman other than or TRI other than the TRI GID. So does this document contain anywhere in it identifying language that Mr. Norman or TRI or an entity other than the TRI GID is the person paying the bills?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. The cooperative agreement itself is just between the county and TRI GID. It deals with the ownership, inspection, and construction of the project. No other party is a party to this agreement.
So in prior meetings, we were led to believe that Mr. Norman would be writing the bill of checks to be the operating party, and we're told now that it's not Mr. Norman. In fact, it's the TRI GID. Is that an accurate representation of where we stand?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. This project is a governmental project, so it needs to be owned by a local government. TRI GID will own the project. They will also operate the project. There's a section in here about any portion of the project not owned by TRI GID that it may be owned by another applicable government, which is defined as City of Reno, City of Sparks, or TRI GID is applicable. Basically, the county may not own and operate the project under this agreement. TRI GID can only operate and own the project under this agreement.
So the simple answer then is no. Roger Norman, in fact, is not the guy who's doing this. It has to be a government agency in order to qualify for SB1, and therefore Roger Norman is not doing it. I mean, is that how I interpret what you just said?
Okay. There's an agreement between TRI GID Sparks and Reno, in which TRI GID is responsible for the construction of the pipeline. That's going to be done by Mr. Norman through his agreements with the property owners as well as with the GID. But that's not an agreement between the county and Mr. Norman.
So nowhere in any of these agenda items today are we discussing Mr. Norman's obligations, duties, responsibilities, or other financial liabilities for the first part of the project. Is that right?
We're not discussing his obligations under these agreements, no.
And wouldn't a reasonable person consider that to be an essential element of this of these four or three agenda items today? I know I would. I'd like to see some sort of legal contractual evidence that or contract that the public can view that would assure folks that this is on the up and up.
Well, there is the contract between Reno Sparks, the DID, which sets out the circumstances under which the pipeline will be built. There are the agreements between the property owners and Tri-Center LLC, which are not public documents at this point, but they set out the obligation between Tri-Center LLC and the property owners within the TIA.
So basically, we're agreeing to something that we've already, you know, Mr. McBride has expressed concern over not having, even though we're a year and a half into this process, the actual agreement between the county and TRI. And in fact, now we don't know. We're just going to assume that it's going to be in there somewhere, and we're going to take the word of the chairman or the board that this information is going to say what you say it's going to say, but we don't have any actual documents that we can look at.
Well, the document between Reno and Sparks and the GID is a public document. That's available.
Okay, all right.
What we're doing here today is we're saying if this pipeline is built and the owners pay for it, we'll reimburse them under the TIA.
Okay. All right. So now I'd like to change my focus. Interestingly, I was actually watching.
Sam, can you wrap it up because you've been up there for about 10 minutes now, and generally we like to limit public comment to 3 minutes. Okay.
Actually, this is, subject is about the agreement that Mr. Loomis just talked about.
Well, I know, Sam, but we'd like to move along here. So,
well, listen, this has been a year and a half in production.
I know, but you wanted to talk about housing and the industrial park and stuff like that, which isn't an agendized item today. You want to carry on up there. I want you to cut to the chase, please.
Okay, so in my previous moment at the podium, I talked about the Section 3, Section C, which indemnifies the applicable government when the project is built, but doesn't protect in any way Story County from possible liability with land or right-of-ways or any real property issues once the pipeline crosses into Story County. Is there any language that protects Story County similarly to the way we're protecting Reno and Sparks?
What section are we referring to?
It's paragraph C of section 2. Before you section 2. Here's your block, right? I'm sorry, section 6, paragraph 2, section C. Transfer of title to undertaking property.
Mr. Henry, I'm going to ask you to address this.
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. Section C of Section 6 addresses transfer of title to any portion of the project which is not owned by Tri-GID and permits ownership by another applicable government. The county is protected by this section because under the section, ownership may not be transferred to the county. It shall be owned by either Tri-GID or another applicable government. The county is also protected because in order for the project to be acquired by Tri-GID, it has to pass inspections and be constructed in accordance with the plans and specs that have been prepared by the engineer under this agreement.
Okay, finally, I'm going to raise concern, and I'd like it to be on the record, about the GID itself. I've been up here before questioning the legal viability of the TRI-GID. There are currently 5 board positions, 2 of which have been vacant since forever. The 3 people who sit on the board of the TRI-GID are all employees and, in fact, if you believe the narrative, residents of the Mustang Ranch. Therefore, there's no ability for any other person who lives outside the industrial park to serve on the GID, and I would argue that it is not a I would be very uncomfortable if I sat where you sit from a liability standpoint. In the meeting that was discussing what Mr. Loomis referred to in the Reno City Council, Jenny Breckus asked the switch attorney about the GID and the solvency of the GID, and the attorney and who would Reno be responsible should a meteor strike their offices or should they become financially insolvent? And the Switch's attorney's response was Story County is the backstop for the TRI GID should they become insolvent. We're talking about the GID. Do you disagree with that? Because I read NRS 318 and I could find no language that either prevents Story County from being identified or assumes the liability. Can you cite for me the NRS 318 statute that protects us?
The GID is a separate political entity. It has its own responsibilities and obligations. The county does not have any obligations towards the GID. We have some oversight, but we do not have any financial responsibility towards the GID.
So in the unfortunate event of them becoming financially insolvent, and given the fact that they're about to take on a system that's approaching $250 million, if anything happens, we get to walk away and just watch it burn out there or watch them flop like fish on the beach. I mean,
that's an option the county could take.
Okay, but there's nowhere in the NRS statute that specifically indemnifies us from that. Is that correct? I mean, I got my law degree from a Cracker Jack box, just like most of the other folks, but I know you got one that you had to work for.
Okay, you used the term indemnify. So the county's going to be indemnified?
Protect, to prevent the county from being on the hook for any obligations, liabilities, responsibilities. Someone gets killed out there and their spouse wants to come and sue us.
It's not the responsibility of the county. The GID has its own insurance protection through the pool, and that's where they would look to for compensation.
Okay, well, given, again, the fact of the makeup of the board of the GID and the consequences for whoever's responsible, I think it's important to make that note. Thank you very much.
All right. Additional public comment? Okay, hearing none. Commissioner McGuffey, if we can get a motion on this with the language provided by the district attorney.
Sure. I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve Resolution 18-522, approving the cooperative agreement between the county and TRI General Improvement District relating to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area. Addition to this motion for approval of Resolution 18.522 and of the interlocal cooperative agreement between Story County and the TRI General Improvement District, known as TRI-GID, execution of Resolution 18-522 and of the interlocal cooperative agreement between Story County and the TRI-GID shall not occur unless and until the county receives a signed stipulation from the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, stipulating that incremental tax revenues received by the county attributable to properties and activities within the tax increment area, which are distributed to owners of property within the tax increment area to reimburse them for the cost of building the off-site portion of the affluent pipeline and will not be included in project revenues as that term is defined in Exhibit E to the development agreement between TRI Center LLC and Story County dated February 1st, year 2000.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to approve resolution number 18-522. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 10, discussion of possible action on a resolution number 18-523, making certain determinations regarding excess tax increment revenues distributed into the funds of the respective taxing agencies under Nevada Revised Statutes 278C. 0.250 in connection with the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area.
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman and Howard. Pursuant to the reimbursement agreement, certain excess tax increment revenues must be utilized for government distribution, and the county shall pay such amounts into the funds of the respective taxing agencies within the tax increment area as provided in NRS 278C.250. This resolution makes determinations on NRS 278C.250 in connection with the distribution of such excess tax increment revenues. Please let us know if you have any questions about this resolution. Thank you.
Do you have any questions on this, Mr. Yeah. Any comments on legal on this?
I don't have any.
Okay. We'll take public comment on this item. I read the title in the opening. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, no public comment. Jack, can we get a motion to approve?
Sure.
Hi, Commissioner Jack McGaffey, move to approve resolution number 18-523, making certain determinations regarding excess tax increment revenues distributed into the funds of the respective taxing agencies under NRS 278C.250 in connection with the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area.
I'll second your motion and move to second to approve resolution number 18-523. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. At this time, we'll go ahead and welcome Commissioner Gilman back up to the board. And we've already withdrawn item number 11. We're going to move on now to item number 12. This is discussion, possible action, approve resolution 18-525, honoring Commissioner Jack McGuffey. Mr. Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Witten, County Manager. I've done a lot of these over the years, probably too many for both departing elected officials, departing staff, and they never get any easier. And I'm going to start this one by saying this one isn't easy either. I've never seen anybody in county government in my almost 20 years come in and make as big of a positive impact as Commissioner McGuffey has across the board. And I thank him for that and can only say my words don't even begin to adequately honor the great service that Jack McGuffey has provided for Story County over the years. You know, he made mention, I think, at the last meeting of how he and I became to know each other, you know, in passing on a couple of occasions and then we lost track for a while. I remember back probably in 2010, then Justice of the Peace Annette Daniels had decided she wanted to retire close to midterm. I think 4 years done, 2 years left to go, as I recall. And vacancies in the elected offices are not an easy, quick fix. You don't just want to reach out and find somebody. So I believe with Holly Teachler's guidance back then, we developed a plan that we would reach out to certain people and ask if they'd consider. At the same time, we take applications from people that are lived in the community that had an interest. And we also developed a vetting process, if you will, that I had to exclude myself from. And the reason I had to exclude myself, quite honestly, was because I had watched Jack run in a prior commission race, a race he did not win. And I don't know that I've ever seen such a clean race on both sides. There was no sniping. There was none of the garbage that we had in the last race. This was a true Story County classic political effort. And for a gentleman I really didn't know all that well, and quite frankly, Jack probably didn't vote for you because of party. I don't remember at the time. But I got to tell you, I was really impressed enough that I reached out to him and I said, you know, hey, I watched you. You got good thought processes. Maybe you'd make a good justice of the peace. And I think Jack's reaction was the same as when they asked me if I'd consider running for sheriff, is they could ask him to be Pope, and he probably had no thoughts or aspirations about it. But he immediately turned to friends of his, golf buddies, as I remember, Ruby Willis, I think specifically, Judge Willis from Carson City, and he said, what do you think? What's it take? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? And pretty much from there, the rest is history. We impaneled a vetting committee. I was not on it again because of my strong desire to see Jack on there. But we had folks like Judge Wilson. We had Judge Daniels, I believe. Holly Teachler was on there, and several other good, high-quality people were on there. And I remember being able to sit at lunch with that panel after they had interviewed the five or so applicants. And I remember one very esteemed person saying, Jack McGuffey's the right guy for this job. Jack McGuffey's the guy who's not going to get black robe fever the minute he robes up and sits up there in that chair. And that's the kind of man we're dealing with back in 2010, 2011. In January 2011, Jack was appointed Justice of the Peace by this commission, not this exact commission, but by the county commission. He was not reelected in 2013, but in 2015, actually November of 14, he was elected to serve a four-year term as county commissioner. I focused enough on the judgeship, now I want to focus on the man as a commissioner and his successes. Ironic that Sherry, who's now left, would
she's here.
Is she? I'm sorry.
She's
up front. Oh, hi. Ironic that Sherry would relay Eric's concerns. I can relay, or not concerns, but compliments and thanks and gratitude. I can relay those probably, I got to look at the committee assignments, which I happen to have with me, but probably 12, 15 times. Things like a new parking lot for St. Mary's, for Fourth Ward School. When you get involved with a passion for the people and the organizations of Story County, and I highly applaud you for that. I tried to think, you know, over the past few days of some of many of Jack's successes, and I'm going to just focus on three. The first one, I think, is one of the biggest things we've ever accomplished that we've been working 20 years on. Now, did Jack do this alone? No, but neither did I, neither did Chairman McBride, neither really did even Congressman Amity. But we got a zip code. And we got a zip code because of Commissioner McGuffey's leadership and probably, more importantly, dogmatic persistence. He would not let a week go by without some email, text, phone call, reminder that says, where are we with our zip code this week? So it took that kind of leadership to make happen what happened earlier this year. Next off, I will tell you, I've belonged and been involved with the NACO organization, both the Nevada Association of Counties and the National Association of Counties, for practically my entire 20 years here. Jack has taken Story County's presence on both NACO organizations, state and national, to new heights. His partnerships, both with Jeff Fontaine and more recently with Dagny Stapleton, are such that they look to him for leadership and suggestions, especially when you're dealing with the rural counties. So I've never seen the county more respected and better represented and better presented. And last, the one I'm especially proud of, Little Story County gets one bill draft request every 2 years. We've never had one, to the best of my knowledge. We may have had one back in the 60s or 70s. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I came on board in 99. So in the past 20 years, I'd never seen one until Jack, Commissioner McGuffey, sitting on the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the Virginia and Truckee Railway, pulled me aside one day and said, this commission is ineffective. This commission doesn't know how to get the job done. We need to change this. So working together with Jack, also Chairman McBride and many others, including Mary and Steve Walker, you know, we crafted a bill draft request, which if you've never done one before is not necessarily an easy thing. And that's just the beginning. You know, you can put in a bill draft request. There's probably 3,000 bill draft requests, you know, 200 of which will get, you know, approved, or 500 or whatever the statistics are in the 19th legislative session. He got it done. You know, yeah, the rest of us helped. Mary Walker took us hand in hand to, you know, many legislators, some for it, some against. He worked with other county commissioners. Washoe County, I remember Jeannie Herman coming back and saying, why am I on this board? You know, and it was Jack that lobbied in politics to make that happen. And today I will tell you, I think the VNT is going to report that it had a good year, a much better organized year, and we're headed in the right direction. And again, I thank you, Jack, for that. And lastly, none of this happens just because Jack's Jack. You've got to train yourself. You don't train yourself. You've got to put yourself through training. Jack jumped right into the judicial college when he became judge. And that was not easy. I'm sure you learned things you never thought you learned. And then when he became a county commissioner, Pool and PACT and NACO partner together in a power series for public officials to teach you everything. It's an intense training class similar to what lawyers go through, I think, in Somerset for their continuing education units. He completed power in record time. So I guess in conclusion, other than reading the resolution, thanking my dear friend Commissioner McGuffey and giving him a pretty darn nice plaque, I'm going to tell you there was nothing you didn't dig into fiercely, and there was nothing you never did except for the best interests of the people of Story County. So if I may read the resolution in the record, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution number 18-525, a resolution honoring Jackie McGuffey. Whereas Jackie McGuffey has faithfully served Story County for 6 years, from 2011 to 2012, and again from 2015 to 2018. And whereas Jackie McGuffey is dedicated to his job and the citizens of Story County, and whereas Jackie McGuffey has served with distinction, earning the respect of all he works with both locally and statewide, and whereas Jackie McGuffey's professional skills in several capacities has served to make Story County a better place to live, work, and play. Therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Jack McGuffey for exemplary service to the people of Story County, Nevada, this 18th day of December 2018, hopefully passed and adopted the 18th day of December by the following commissioners. Ayes will hopefully be Chairman McBride, Commissioner Gilman, with Vice Chairman McGuffey maybe perhaps abstaining. So, Commissioner McGuffey, if you come up, please. And we've also got the requisite plaque. It's the Jack McGuffey, Story County Commissioner. Congratulations for a happy retirement. Story County thanks you for your dedication and appreciates the difference you make in our community. Thank you very much.
Probably rather have a fishing pole.
He's about to.
Thank you very much. It's been an interesting run here in Story County. A lot of my achievements, I really couldn't have done it without our great staff and my fellow commissioners. I was on the St. Mary's Art Center Board, the Fourth Ward School Board, the V&T Railway Commission, and the NACO Board. As far as our nonprofits go, I used to poker and poked everybody to get things done once in a while, but I really have to thank my fellow commissioners for stepping up when we were short funds for a new stove at the Sierra Center, Senior Center, not the Senior Center. The Arts Center, they couldn't. They lost a lot of artists that wouldn't appear or bring their galleries with them because they didn't have a security system. And it's like they didn't have the money in the budget for such a thing. It's going to cost, a few thousand dollars. And, a phone call to Lance, boom, they had their money. So I my hat's off to Lance. I didn't abuse his kindness, but it was always there when I needed it. And I have to say that with Marshall, too. Marshall's always stepped up when I just kind of plant a seed in his ear, and he would take care of needs of even the local car club and stuff like that. So, that was another thing. I'm a member of and founder of our local car club. So as far as the V&T, our Senate Bill 57, Yeah, I had the cattle prod there, but I really give a lot of the credit to our county manager, Pat Whitten. He's the one, with him and Mary, sat down and wrote the bill. You know, I didn't write the bill, but they got it done. But I was there every step of the way when they needed to go before the committees, and it walked through like nothing. But it was a good learning experience as well to see how a bill goes through Nevada legislature. I met some great people on the way, and learned of the Porter Group, John Porter, Congressman John Porter. What a great team they are, and taught me a lot of what's going on in Washington. The zip code, I think that was a big step to get something out there for TRI. I think there's still more work to do to get something for the Highlands and Lockwood, so because we are losing tax dollars through the internet in that sense. We got a lot. You know, there was one thing that I think was kind of big that Pat probably forgot about, but is the basic city county tax. This was a tax. Story County used to get, I believe it was $3 million a year from the state, and this is a money that all the counties that, like Washoe and Clark, that generate a lot of sales tax. Some of that portion goes towards counties that don't have a big sales tax or don't have a tax base to speak of. And so Story County's been on this for years, since the 60s. And so got to looking at that, and it's like, why are we on this? We have this industrial park now. So we started looking at the numbers, and it's like, yeah, you know, we're actually breaking that number. And, you know, we get our $3 million from the state, but if we generate more sales tax than that, we don't get to keep it. The state keeps it. So we started looking into that. It's like, yeah, we're losing money. So I think we've been on it for, I think this is the third year now, and I think we're over $2 million, and that's money in the bank. And now we're one of those counties that are paying into that little pot, and we're still over $2 million ahead. So that's pretty darn good. So I just wanted to say, you know, I didn't want to forget that because, you know, that's something a lot of county residents, including myself, until I got into this position, didn't even know existed. So there's a big learning curve to being a county commissioner. Again, I want to thank everybody for your support. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Pleasure working with you, Jack.
Thank you. My pleasure as well.
A lot of memorable road trips to National NACO.
Yeah.
Taking on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Last on the agenda today
I think we need approval.
Oh, that's right, we do. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Board comment,
okay.
Public comment.
Yeah. Do you have any comments on this resolution, Mr. Gilbert?
I have no comment, except it's been a pleasure. And, you know, Jack has carried such a load for all of us. I every time I was asked to step to the plate and take on a responsibility, excuse me, he was there and he signed up. And I think probably the commissioners that I've watched over the years that I've been acquainted with, he's worked more tirelessly than anybody that we've had sitting in a chair. And he's made a difference in many different arenas. And you know, you've got to really count production, and he is a producer at our government level. Thank you, Jack. It's been a pleasure being with you, my friend.
Great. All right, we'll open up the public comment on this resolution. Ms. Barton.
Colbert, Story County resident. There were two things you forgot among the things that Jack has done. One is he brokered, I don't know if you'd call it broker, but he got Thrive out at TRI to provide much needed high quality organic food for our pantries. That's phenomenal. And in particular, because of the statistics that we have in this county about having so many people, in particular children, being food insecure, that goes a long way. I know the folk, I've been there during the pantries at Lockwood and even here, and you know, people just wait for that stuff, and that's fantastic. And then the other thing is that Jack also, from time to time, sponsored commissioner lunches at the senior center. Again, we are a very food insecure community. We're not a rich community, and the seniors rely on the senior center, regardless of whether they pay the $2 or the $3. But providing those commissioner lunches, I know from talking to those folks, made a difference. So thank you for those things, Jack.
Thank you.
Okay. Additional public comment.
You want to set the clock?
I'll be brief. No shot clock necessary. Sam Toll for the record, Gold Hill. Jack, I want to congratulate you for your service to the county. I think that, I know that I've been one of your harshest critics, and I think that in spite of the differences that you and I have, you have treated me with extreme professionalism, cordiality, and decorum that perhaps I may not have deserved. I like to say, don't hate the player, hate the game. And in this game, you've done a spectacular job, and I want to thank you for your service, Jack.
Thank you.
Who's next? Okay, then we'll move on to the last item on the agenda.
Vote to approve the resolution.
Oh, that's right. Thanks for reminding me. Mr. Gilman?
Yes?
Can I get you to read a motion to approve this resolution, please?
Well, I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve Resolution 18-525, honoring Commissioner Jack McGuffey. Yeah.
More than happy to second the motion. Move to second. Approve this resolution honoring Jack McGuffey. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you.
You bet, Jack. Now, if I haven't skipped over anything else, we'll move on to item number 13, public comment.
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. No need to put the stop clock on. I'll be brief, but now I am back to being a critic. I will, once again, as is my custom for every commissioner meeting that I attend, respectfully request that the commissioners change their policy of keeping the constituents in Story County in last place by moving public comment to both the beginning and the end of the meeting. I attended the VCTC meeting last week. I had an appointment with my attorney in Reno at 10:30, and the meeting started at 9. Of course, they moved it earlier to be more friendly to the merchants. And I was delighted to be able to make my public comment before the meeting started and not have to miss my attorney's meeting, or worse, not be able to address the board. It sends the wrong message. A similar message that I think is being sent in the wrong direction. Resolution 18-521, which was passed today, I should have come up and asked you to delete the word considered in one of your whereases. Whereas the board considered, overruled, and denied each and every written and oral protest or objection made at the public hearing. For a year and a half, as you know, I've spoken to the folks in Story County regarding the use of public funds for a private enterprise. The only people that I heard in favor of it were both at the last meeting, Corrado DeGasperis and Scott Jolkover. Hundreds of citizens expressed their opposition. Hundreds of citizens signed petitions, and they were overruled, denied each and every written or oral request or objection every time. I think that's disappointing. I think it sends the wrong message. There was no even interaction or discussion or, gee, you know, you might have a point there. Let me tell you where I'm coming from. It was rubber stamped from the beginning to the end, and that's very disappointing. So once again, it would be great if the incoming commissioner-elect Carmona takes advantage of the opportunity that Mr. Gilman afforded at a previous meeting, where a commissioner can put on the agenda anything he wants, and that will be something that you guys will have to vote on. At that point, I surely hope you'll be able to vote yes, but if you don't, then that message will be able to be documented. Thank you very much.
Additional public comment. Going once. Going twice. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. We'll see you next year.